Next time you walk down the street and look up at, a massive multi-million dollar commercial high-rise, just consider this. By this time next year, you might legally own a piece of it for, well, basically the price of a nice dinner out.
Right, which sounds wild.
It really does. And I mean, no mortgage applications, no massive wire transfers, no real estate brokers taking their percentage, just a digital token sitting securely in an app on your phone, paying you a fraction of the rent every single month.
I know it sounds like science fiction or perhaps a pitch for a very risky tech startup, but the reality is actually much more grounded. We are currently witnessing the rewiring of the oldest, most fundamentally illiquid wealth-building asset on the planet.
Which is exactly why we are dedicating today's deep dive to understanding this tectonic shift. So, welcome. We are unpacking a really comprehensive guide on tokenized real estate investing in Saudi Arabia.
It's a fascinating stack of sources.
It is. Our sources for you today include detailed operational insights from the Osul Gamma platform, the regulatory frameworks actively being laid out by the Saudi Capital Market Authority, and of course, the massive macroeconomic blueprint known as Saudi Vision 2030.
Right.
And our mission today is to figure out the actual mechanics of how blockchain technology turns a concrete skyscraper into like digital puzzle pieces you can buy. And, why Saudi Arabia is positioning itself as the global epicenter for this financial revolution.
Yeah, and I think it's important to clarify something right away. People hear the word token or blockchain, and their minds immediately jump to speculative cryptocurrency trading.
Oh, for sure. They think of like digital art fads or meme coins.
Exactly. But the source material paints a radically different picture. This is not about speculative digital assets. I mean, this is about upgrading the plumbing of traditional finance.
Okay, upgrading the plumbing. I like that.
Yeah, it is utilizing decentralized networks to distribute real, tangible, income-generating property to a global audience.
Okay, let's unpack this from the foundation up. Because before we can understand why this is exploding in the Middle East, we need to separate the technology from the physical asset, right?
We do.
When we talk about a digital brick, we aren't talking about buying virtual real estate in some video game. But if I log on to a platform and buy a token representing a fraction of a commercial office building, I mean, my instinct is massive skepticism.
Which is a completely healthy reaction.
Right. Let's say I invest my hard-earned money, and tomorrow the tech startup running the tokenization platform goes bankrupt. Do I actually own a piece of that building, or am I just an unsecured creditor holding a worthless string of computer code?
What's fascinating here is how the legal structuring totally isolates you from the tech platform's operational risk.
Wait, totally isolates you. How?
Because the token is not a replacement for a traditional property deed, it is a legally recognized bearer instrument for shares in a corporate entity.
Okay, break that down a bit.
Sure. So when a property is tokenized, a distinct, legally quarantined entity, typically called a special purpose vehicle, or an SPV, is created solely to purchase and hold the title to that specific physical building.
Right, an SPV.
Yeah. The blockchain token simply represents your legally binding equity ownership in that SPV.
So the legal firewall is already built in.
Exactly.
If the tech platform shuts down its servers, that special purpose vehicle still exists in the real world.
It does. The physical building still stands, the SPV still holds the deed recorded with the local government, and your digital token serves as the, well, the immutable cryptographic proof that you own a percentage of that SPV.
Right, because the SPV is completely bankruptcy remote from the platform. The platform simply acts as the marketplace and, the technological
Well,
bridge.
the blockchain is just the ledger.
Exactly. In a traditional real estate syndication, keeping track of who owns what fraction, especially as those fractions are bought and sold on secondary markets, it's an administrative nightmare.
Oh, I bet. Just armies of accountants,
Yeah.
lawyers, endless spreadsheets. Right. But a smart contract on a blockchain handles that registry automatically, transparently, and crucially, without human error.
Well, wait, I have to push back on the security of that registry for a second.
Yeah.
You called the token a bearer instrument earlier.
I did, yes.
Well, in traditional finance, a bearer bond belongs to whoever physically holds the paper, right?
True.
So if my digital wallet gets hacked and a thief steals my token, do they suddenly legally own a fraction of a commercial high-rise in Riyadh?
That is a crucial distinction to make, and it really highlights the difference between, say, early crypto networks and institutional asset tokenization.
Okay.
These tokens are programmable assets. They come equipped with built-in compliance protocols. The smart contract governing the token contains strict Know Your Customer or KYC rules.
They know exactly who is holding it.
Yes. A stolen token literally cannot be transferred to or held by a digital wallet that has not been identity verified and whitelisted by the platform.
Yeah.
Yeah. If a theft occurs, the issuer can technically freeze the stolen token, burn it, and reissue a new token to your verified wallet.
Okay, that completely changes the risk profile. It is not a bearer asset in the Wild West sense. It's a programmable asset with a built-in compliance officer standing guard over every transaction.
Exactly. And that same smart contract automation is what makes the passive income model actually work.
Well, let's dig into that income mechanism, because that is why you, the listener, would actually care about this.
Definitely.
When commercial tenants in that physical building pay their monthly rent, how does a fraction of that cash actually end up in my pocket? Because in a traditional setup, property managers collect the rent, deduct maintenance, accountants calculate the distributions, and weeks later, you might get a paper check.
Or a slow bank transfer, yeah. But remember, a smart contract is just self-executing code. The operational rules are baked into the network.
Okay, so walk me through the cash flow.
Let's trace it. A commercial tenant pays their rent in standard fiat currency into the SPV's bank account. An automated gateway registers that deposit and converts the net yield into a stablecoin, which is just a digital currency pegged to the local fiat.
Makes sense.
The smart contract then immediately reads the blockchain to see exactly which verified wallets hold the tokens for that specific property at that exact second.
Okay.
It calculates the proportional split and instantly routes the digital dividend directly to those wallets. There is zero manual human intervention required.
The speed and efficiency of that is staggering. I mean,
yeah.
You are essentially taking the financial reward of being a landlord and stripping away almost all of the operational friction.
Exactly.
But technology doesn't exist in a vacuum, right? You cannot tokenize a building if the local municipal government refuses to legally recognize a smart contract or a digital property registry.
Very true.
Which brings us to the where and the why.
Yeah.
Because the geographical center of our sources isn't Silicon Valley, and it isn't London or New York. It is Saudi Arabia.
If we connect this to the bigger picture, Saudi Arabia is actively rewriting its national economic engine.
How so?
Well, when you look at the archaic systems of Western property law, title insurance, county clerks, physical stamping, 30-day escrow periods, these are massive bottlenecks.
Yeah, very slow.
Western markets are trying to retrofit a 21st century digital technology onto a 19th century paper-based legal system. Saudi Arabia is leapfrogging that entirely.
And you really see the sheer scale of this ambition in the reports from Knight Frank and CBRE included in our stack.
The scale is massive.
It is. The geographical footprint of what is happening in the kingdom is difficult to even visualize. Riyadh is aggressively expanding its commercial hubs to absorb this influx of multinational corporations.
Setting up their regional headquarters.
Yeah. Right. And Jeddah is pushing massive coastal hospitality and tourism developments. And then, of course, you have NEOM, this futuristic mega project being built completely from scratch.
And NEOM is the perfect example of why this technology is finding its permanent home there. Because they are building a city from the ground up, they have the unprecedented opportunity to embed blockchain-based property registries at the foundational level of the city's legal code.
Oh, so they don't have to digitize a dusty filing cabinet because the filing cabinet never existed.
Exactly. The registry is natively digital on day one.
It is a clean slate.
Mm-hmm.
But this isn't just about making property tech more efficient, is it? Reading through the Saudi Vision 2030 documents, this feels like a highly calculated geopolitical strategy.
Oh, it is entirely strategic. The explicit goal of Vision 2030 is to diversify the kingdom's economy away from a singular reliance on oil revenues.
Right.
And achieving that requires a colossal influx of foreign direct investment, specifically channeled into infrastructure and commercial development.
But historically, nations are very hesitant to allow massive foreign corporations to buy up vast tracts of sovereign land outright.
Right.
Right. It raises domestic pricing concerns, sovereignty issues.
Which is precisely the macroeconomic problem that tokenization solves for the kingdom.
How does it solve it?
By fractionalizing the assets. Capital can flow into these mega projects globally from everyday retail investors and smaller funds, rather than yielding total ownership to a single foreign conglomerate.
Oh, that's clever.
It democratizes the capital stack while the underlying SPVs remain heavily regulated and monitored by local authorities. They get the foreign investment without sacrificing sovereign control.
Here's where it gets really interesting for the individual investor. We've talked about the legal framework and the macroeconomic strategy, but how does an everyday person actually acquire a piece of a Riyadh office building?
Right, let's look at the
Yeah,
mechanics.
let's get out of the clouds and walk through the user experience, because the sources highlight the Osul Gamma platform as a prime example of this execution.
They do.
And the user experience is pitched as resembling an online brokerage account, but instead of buying a share of a tech stock, you are buying income-generating physical property.
The mechanics behind a platform like Osul Gamma are highly sequential and rigorous. It begins with sourcing the asset.
Okay.
They are not just listing any available property. They are looking for institutional-grade, high-yield commercial real estate. And often, these properties utilize triple-net leases.
I'm glad you brought that up because the type of lease fundamentally changes the risk for the token holder.
It really does.
For those unfamiliar, a triple net lease means the commercial tenant is responsible for paying not just the rent, but also the property taxes, the building insurance, and the maintenance costs.
Which is critical for fractional ownership.
Right.
If the roof of the building leaks, the corporate tenant pays to fix it, not the thousands of token holders scattered around the globe.
So no midnight phone calls about a broken water heater.
Exactly. It drastically reduces the operational unpredictability for the platform and the investors.
Okay, so they find a property with a triple net lease, then what?
Once Osul Gamma acquires an asset with that kind of stable profile, they initiate the legal structuring we discussed earlier, establishing the bankruptcy remote SPV.
Right, the firewall.
Then they conduct a rigorous, independent third-party valuation of the physical property to establish its total market capitalization.
Let's put some numbers to this to make it concrete. Let's say the independent valuation places the commercial building at $20 million.
Okay, 20 million. So the platform takes that $20 million equity in the SPV and instructs the blockchain protocol to mint an equivalent proportional number of digital tokens.
Got it.
For example, they might mint 200,000 tokens, pricing them at $100 each. Those tokens are then listed on the Osul Gamma marketplace.
And as the investor, my interaction from this point is entirely digital.
Completely.
I complete the KYC verification to ensure compliance with anti-money laundering laws. I fund my digital wallet, and I decide I want to purchase 50 tokens for $5,000. The moment I execute that trade, the smart contract updates the public ledger.
And you are instantaneously the legal beneficiary of a fraction of that property.
That's wild.
And the sources emphasize that the real disruption here isn't just the ease of transaction, it's the granular portfolio diversification it enables.
That is a massive point because in traditional real estate, if I have $50,000 to invest, I am generally forced to put all of it into a single down payment on a single property in a single neighborhood.
Right, all your eggs in one basket.
Exactly. My entire portfolio's performance is tied to the hyper-local economics of that one street. If the major employer in that town leaves, my investment tanks.
But with tokenization, the barrier to entry is so low that you can deploy that same $50,000 across 50 completely different physical assets.
Wow.
You can allocate a percentage to a commercial tower in Riyadh, a retail center in Jeddah, a logistics hub near the Red Sea, and perhaps residential units in EOM.
Spring it out.
Yeah, you are mitigating your geographic and asset class risk, utilizing a capital base that previously would have restricted you to a single highly leveraged asset.
It is the financial flexibility of a mutual fund applied to hard physical assets. And you knew the but was coming.
I did.
We have painted a really beautiful picture here of seamless income and instant diversification. However, no investment is magic, and every system has friction. We need to look at the
We
potholes.
do.
I have a serious concern regarding the liquidity claims in these sources, and it's crucial for you, the listener, to understand this before jumping in. So, what does this all mean when I actually want my initial capital back?
That is the big question.
The platform lets me buy instantly, but if the market crashes or if I have a personal emergency and just need cash, I cannot force the SPV to sell a fraction of the physical building to refund me. Am I relying purely on a secondary market of other users?
This raises an important question, and it addresses what we often call the liquidity illusion.
The liquidity illusion. I like that term.
Because the user interface looks exactly like a stock trading app, like Robinhood or E-Trade investors subconsciously expect the asset to behave like a stock. But real estate is inherently fundamentally illiquid. It is concrete, steel, and long-term legal leases.
You can't just liquidate a concrete pillar.
Exactly. Tokenizing a building provides technological transferability, but it does not guarantee market liquidity. Your ability to cash out depends entirely on the depth of the secondary market on that specific platform.
Meaning I have to find another investor on Osul Gamma who is willing to buy my specific tokens for that specific Riyadh office building at the price I want.
Yes.
And if the Saudi commercial real estate market cools down, or if interest rates spike and investors flee to safer bonds, the demand for my tokens will dry up.
Absolutely, it will.
The bid-ask spread is going to widen drastically, and I might have to sell at a steep discount, taking a major haircut just to liquidate my position.
Absolutely. The underlying physical asset entirely dictates the token's market behavior. If the property loses a major commercial tenant, the dividend yield drops, and the secondary market value of your token will plummet accordingly.
Right.
Technology does not insulate you from basic market economics. And this is exactly where the regulatory framework becomes the single most vital component of the entire ecosystem.
Which brings us to the Capital Market Authority, the CMA, and the Saudi Central Bank.
Right.
The sources detail how they are actively building out the rules of the road for these platforms. This isn't the Wild West of decentralized finance, where anonymous developers can just launch a token, take your money, and disappear into the ether.
Not at all. The CMA utilizes what is called a regulatory sandbox environment.
The sandbox.
Yeah. This allows platforms like Osul Gamma to test their technology with real investors and real money, but under intense microscopic regulatory scrutiny.
Oh, that makes sense.
The CMA enforces strict audit trails. Platforms operating under their purview must maintain transparent reserve requirements, and they mandate regular third-party physical valuations of the underlying assets, so the token price doesn't detach from reality.
So they're essentially auditing the bridge between the digital ledger and the physical concrete.
Exactly. And they ensure the legal linkage between the digital token and the SPV is bulletproof and fully enforceable in a Saudi court of law.
Which is huge.
It is. Choosing to invest through an unregulated platform exposes you to total loss, not just from market forces, but from structural or legal failure. The platform's compliance with the CMA is your primary line of defense.
When we pull all of these threads together, the implication for your financial future is massive. We are not just looking at a niche tech trend happening in the Middle East.
No, we really aren't.
We are looking at a structural mechanism that takes the historically proven stability of institutional real estate and forcibly merges it with the speed, transparency, and accessibility of digital networks.
The barrier to entry for institutional-grade wealth generation, which has been fiercely guarded by private equity for decades, has essentially been eradicated.
It's incredible.
Yeah.
To recap the core takeaways from our deep dive today. First, we mapped out how blockchain tokenization fundamentally alters property ownership, replacing cumbersome paper deeds and middlemen with automatically executing smart contracts tied to bankruptcy remote SPVs.
Right.
Second, we explored why Saudi Arabia's Vision 2030 and clean slate projects like NEOM provide the perfect regulatory and developmental environment for this technology to thrive, leapfrogging those archaic Western property laws.
Exactly.
And finally, we walked through the operational mechanics of platforms like Osul Gamma, confronting the reality that while the technology solves administrative friction, it does not erase the inherent market risks or the illiquid nature of real property.
And, you know, if the regulatory frameworks being pioneered by the CMA succeed, and we prove that we can seamlessly legally tokenize and trade a commercial high-rise in Riyadh today, well, what happens tomorrow?
Yeah.
What happens when absolutely every major globally illiquid asset becomes a tradable digital token? We are talking about municipal toll roads, international shipping fleets, massive tracts of agricultural land, and energy grids. If anyone with a smartphone can instantly buy and sell a fraction of global infrastructure, does the very concept of an exclusive investment disappear entirely?
That is a heavy question to leave you with. When the world's most inaccessible assets become just another line item in a digital wallet, the entire global map of wealth shifts. It definitely gives you something to chew on the next time you walk past a towering skyscraper and wonder who really owns it. Keep digging, keep questioning, and we will catch you on the next deep dive.